Today's guest is Tony Park of QB Properties. We have an awesome opportunity to listen to someone who was involved in real estate on the East Coast early on. But even before that, he got involved in the ATMs that we all would access outside of bank ATMs. And even the story he shares when we first kick off the conversation is amazing because of how that led him to then move forward, almost by design, truly, moving forward into the real estate space. Then you start to see how those relationships developed so long ago in the 80s, if I'm not mistaken, over into modern day today, New York City, as the backdrop of this conversation and the launching of Angelina's Bakery and Anton's Korean barbecue. And you start to see these incredible locations open up and with great success. And you start to realize how important the relationships that Tony was able to build over those years and how instrumental it was to the success, because they either became investors or were the people who had the amazing retail locations ready to go. And then you combine this with Tony's ability, and you'll see this throughout the conversation, to be at the cutting edge of all emerging technology and finding a business use case for it and being able to experiment and play with it and get to a place where it works or it didn't, and it worked for as long as it did, or it's still working to this very day. And him involving that and bringing it into the fold of what he does. And then what I loved most was I asked him if there were any businesses and brands that he's ever launched that held a special place in his heart. And it turns out every single one of the franchises that he runs, and even the companies that he holds, are named after someone dear to him. And it's supposed to be exemplary of the commitment he has to those businesses. So if you're ready for the ride, here's Tony Park of QB Properties. Okay, Tony, I'm very happy to have you here. Thank you for joining us over the line here. I know you're a busy man, so we got a hold of you. Let's talk about it, man. I was wondering if you could share a memorable experience with me from one of your restaurants that sort of captures the essence of that QB hospitality.
The first restaurant that I opened was in 1998 in Pennsylvania. It was the restaurant owner was a Greek guy, and I was like the junior working partner. And the restaurant burned down, and we had nothing left but an ATM machine. So I grabbed the ATM machine and I moved to New York City with nothing on hand. So that was kind of memorable. That was back 25 years ago.
Yeah, I don't think anyone's ever going to forget a story like that. Wow. Okay. Thank you for sharing. That is definitely a great way to start the show. So then when you decided to move to New York, was that because you already had business there, or what made you specifically choose New York?
No, that's when the ATM was deregulated and you could individually own an ATM machine, sort of like a Coca-Cola vending machine. And I went to a conference, someone told me we could buy these bankomats, ATMs, and put them in groceries and make $1.50 a transaction. And it seemed interesting. So, we started getting involved, as a salesperson, as a distributor. And then after a few years, I became a manufacturer, distributor. And by 2001, I think we had the 6,000-7,000 ATM machine. We had more machines than Chase and Citibank. It was a great business. And then all these scammers got involved and they started skimming data or stealing data from the ATM machine or the keypads. And the business was great, but we had to turn it down, and the bank started making it more secure, adding compliances, and we had issues. So we had to sell down the business and the portfolio to local banks.
And it's very interesting.
I left the payment business. We didn't do anything wrong, but it was getting very complex to keep up with the technology and the triple debt and the compliance that they were starting to put down on the payment business. So we sold the portfolio to E-Trade, Citizens Bank, whatever. Every state different bank for the portfolio, and I went into real estate.
See, that's what I love about...
I started my real estate and restaurant business.
Got it. Yeah, I feel very lucky to be talking to you specifically because you were around for these changes in technology as they were happening, right? And to know the way that looked and went down and the amount of things you probably saw and how you saw the world, because business is so tied to emerging technologies, I'm grateful to have heard that part of the story. I was actually wondering, now that you're getting into how you got into real estate from there, how is it that you decide...
I don't know if you ever saw the... Are you a New Yorker?
You know, I lived in New York for 6 years, actually, but I can't say that I'm officially a New Yorker.
the only McDonald's that have ATM machines are the one in New York City. And that's because we sold it to them. And it came to a point the McDonald's Corporation wanted the franchisee to remove their ATM machine. But they were so profitable that they wrote a big letter saying that if you let us take the machines out, we're going to switch to Burger King, and they let us keep it. They grandfathered my ATM machine.
Whoa, wait a minute. Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
That makes a lot of... I didn't realize the ATM business was such good money. Now that explains why people were launching Bitcoin machines too. what I was getting at, how do you decide to create a new location? Like, what goes into you choosing this is the perfect location for a new restaurant or a new franchise?
Oh, my background is retail brokerage. So before I became an owner, we used to represent all these Korean and Italian brands coming overseas to open locations in New York City. Mm. So we know everything about the food traffic in the area, what kind of sales they do, what type of bodega or what type of coffee shop does, what type of service and type of revenue. And we really specialized in that in the past 20 years. We brought in Paris Baguette from Korea, Natural Republic, Gongjeon Chicken, a bunch of different retail brands, and a bunch of retail brands from Italy. I'm half Korean, half Italian. So any Italian restaurant order, back then Mario Batali or Diesel or fashion store, I mean, different type of retail uses. So we know exactly where the good locations are. So when we started buying our own building, we knew that we had to pick a good location to make sure, because the highest portion of the rent is derived from the retail. I mean, you might have an office upstairs or a rental apartment upstairs, but usually an apartment rent is only $3,000-$4,000 versus a good retail in Midtown can generate $20,000-$30,000. So 70% of the building's income comes from the retail, and we know how to pick a good retail space.
I see. So then what kind...
We also have connection.
Yeah. Go ahead.
The merchants that were my ATM credit card merchants that we had when we were in the ATM business, those are my customer. They became my real estate customer. So when we buy a building, we buy an empty building in a good location, we already have the client that is either going to buy the retail or rent the retail. So we have a solution to the core of the problem. So that's how we are able to purchase building at less and make them value more.
This is why relationships matter. This is the moral of the story here. Now, how do you approach differentiating your brands in a city like New York, where everybody has a flashy situation going on with their retail locations and their restaurants or their bespoke culinary menus? How do you approach the idea of differentiating your brand?
Well, I'm a chef myself. I went to culinary school in Italy. I graduated and majored in pastry. And we tried to keep it original. My Korean background was mostly learned in New York after I was 21 years old. So it's more Italian than Korean. But I tried to keep every concept of QB hospitality as original as we can. So if it's Korean food, we keep it Korean instead of doing fusion food or mixing it up. You know, the Italian bakery has Italian true Italian bomboloni, Italian style croissant, which are a little bit more softer than the French croissant. The cannoli, the ricotta sauce comes from Sardinia. It's a real true Sicilian or Sardinia ricotta, depending on where we source it from. So everything is truly original. It's not like a fusion.
That's very interesting. You know what? I do spend way more time going to a specific, this is where we're going to go eat, as opposed to fusion. Fusion is cool, like street food. Every now and then you're out and about, you might run into it. I have nothing against it, but I can see how that's a better choice, at least from my own perspective, of why being true to that makes sense. I've rarely ever heard someone
people
say
wake up in the morning and they say, I feel like Italian, I feel like
exactly
Chinese, Japanese, Korean. But no one wakes up in the morning and says, I feel like fusion, you know? 15 years ago, I had invested in an African restaurant. They were opening the meatpacking district. And the restaurant did very well. It was a very, very famous chef, you know? I think he's still very famous. But people don't wake up in the morning and say, oh my God, I feel like African, at least yet, you know?
Yeah.
There might be a time that comes, but I learned not to try to invent a new wheel. I have few fusion restaurants in the early ages of our hospitality. In 2003, we opened a Chinese American sandwich concept called Xie Xie. It was like a Chinese / American sandwich shop in Hell's Kitchen. It failed in 4 months.
Wow.
Then we tried. We had the African restaurant failed in a year. So I don't like doing fusion or something that is too new or too ahead of the curve.
Now, you look at the landscape from when you first started and you were doing the ATMs and you had the benefit of building those relationships. If you were starting out trying to launch restaurants and get great retail locations today without having had your relationships the way that you built them so far back, do you think it would have been easier or harder? Because
much harder. If really, I didn't have the tenant or the key player for the retail or some of these people became my investor when I started early stages of purchasing building. You know, it's not like I was always like this. You know, they became my investor. They became my tenant. So the relationship that I have today, they go back 15, 20 years. We bought a building on 32nd and sold the supermarket space, the retail space to the retailer. And this guy I know for 15 years, he used to have a supermarket in downtown on Fulton Street. And back then he was my retail client for credit card, ATM, and payment tech. Today, he was my buyer for a $30 million condo, you know?
Wow.
And I know him from 15 years ago.
Yeah.
I used to lease retail spaces for him to open his supermarket.
Oh, wow. You know,
most of our client relationships go back 15, 20 years.
That's what I was going to say. You just can't beat a really good relationship. And what do you think of the people you meet today who are young and up and comers in the day-to-day work that you do? Do you feel like there's something that they're not seeing that you know is super important because of your own work ethic when you were coming up, when technology wasn't there and you had to rely on people, and now everyone uses social media and it's great, you know, it's a great marketing channel. But some people make their entire strategy based on whether or not social media is going to work. And the last time I checked, there are plenty of successful people who were able to make it without a newsletter or a social media channel. Not that it hurts, it definitely helps. But what are your views on what some of the newer up-and-comers could learn from someone who came up at a time when it wasn't as accessible and as connected?
I think that, social media is very important in today's age. I mean, we pay a lot of focus on it, but it is a little bit too much. Like, you know, even when you go outside for dinner, like even when I go with my own family, I can't eat the food until they take all the pictures, you know, like super annoying. I'm 48 years old, you know, and you know, I can't take that. You know, I better check my email. I hate it. I get 10,000 emails a day. If I was to check my email every day, I cannot work. I'll be just an email checker all day. But I don't check my email. I used to. When I first started, I used to check my email every day, spend 30 minutes on it. 30 minutes became an hour became 5 hours. And then I just gave up. I was like, no, I don't need to check emails anymore. Again, if you really need me, you'll come see me in my office.
At what point in your career did the email or the inbox become unmanageable? What level of success did you land where that transition happened?
About 7-8 years ago, I think. You know, I was checking email until the BlackBerry was around, or you know, the next or whatever. Yeah, after the BlackBerry, when things started changing to iPhone and stuff, I was like, you know what? I cannot do this anymore. I just gave up.
Right on. And then I'm actually curious, because you've watched technologies transform the way that they have, and you see the way the world is going now, do you have any interest in how artificial intelligence may play a role in the future of the dining experience for customers? Do you see a future like that? Or?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, really?
I have a big interest. I mean, yeah. We own a bakery brand that we have in New York City, very popular, number one on TripAdvisor. Angelina Bakery has a human component because people have to fry the donut, cook the donut, you know, make the coffee. And there's a company out of Korea that developed this machine that fries the donut, drips the coffee. So I can save 4 or 5 employees inside the kitchen. Wow. So right now I'm having the first prototype design, which is going to be ready next summer, to test in our Angelina Bakery store. It'll also be kind of cool for people to walk by Times Square and see this robot frying donuts or making coffee.
Yeah.
So I'm very much interested in AI and automated technology that can be used in the restaurant field. We have a kiosk that we developed for Angelina Bakery. So people can, we have 7 kiosks outside of our Times Square store, and people order the bread automatically. Back in the days, before we had this kiosk, we had 7 registers. 7 register means 7 employees at minimum wage or whatever, you know, $15 an hour, which we don't have anymore because now these kiosks, people go through the screen, they see what they want to eat, they press the button, and then the order prints in the kitchen, in the coffee area, in the gelato area, and people serve them. So we save labor costs by automating the ordering process. So I'm very much into that.
Yeah, no, this makes a lot of sense. You know, when I was living in New York, I remember, it might have been on the Lower East Side somewhere. I was walking across and one of the retail stores had a 3D, they sold sneakers, but they were 3D printing the sneaker right in front of the window overnight so that by tomorrow, whatever the order was placed with some customer was going to be ready for delivery. And I remember seeing that and going, whoa, and this is, wow, probably 2015, 2016, so really early on in the 3D printing space. Yeah. So when you're talking about how interesting that's going to be when people watch that, you're absolutely right. And I actually personally would love to have you back on to hear about whether or not you see it as a success as you actually install and implement it. That's going to be an interesting conversation.
Sure. Sometime next year. I mean, I always like technology. I mean, before the iPhone came out and BlackBerry was out there, I used to own a couple hundred kiosks in New York City. We had this company called iNextNet, and we used to install computers in people's coffee shop and restaurant for people to use. They would buy a prepaid phone card. This is back in the IDT phone card days. But they would buy a prepaid internet card from us. We used to have it in JFK, in the airport, and everywhere. And people would come and buy 20 minutes of internet from our computers. But then BlackBerry and iPhone came out and they wiped us out. But, you know, it was a good business for a while.
Yeah, you know what? The more I talk to you, the more I understand how much you were focused on emerging technologies and your business sense and savviness for finding ways to integrate these emerging technologies into actual business use cases. Is it because of how long you've been in business that you're able to see the world this way? Or what can you attribute your insightfulness to being able to see an emerging technology and find a way to apply it in business? Is there any way someone can learn that? Or is it just you have to be born with that kind of business sense?
Well, I'm like a sponge. I like new information, you know. I like to learn about new things. I think that's just my personality, you know. I never stop.
I see. I believe it. Well, look, as we begin to close things out, I was wondering...
My daughter is just like me.
Really?
It never stops. Yeah.
That means there's a legacy in the business then. I was actually very curious, out of all the brands that you've launched and things that you're working on, is there any one particular brand that holds a special place in your heart?
Well, all of our brands are named after all my family members. So everything holds a very special place. Angelina Baker is named after my daughter, Angelina. Anto, the Korean Steakhouse, and Antoria are named after my son, Antonio. The Cocktail Bar Lounge restaurant, Catherine Meets Tony, is named after my wife and me. The company name QB Hospitality is my wife's nickname. I'm opening a new concept that is named after my dog, Kimbap. So it's everything holds a special place. It's kind of like my commitment to the brand.
Oh, man. That is awesome. I'm glad I asked that. There was no way I would have been able to anticipate that answer. Listen, Tony, it's been a real pleasure being able to talk to you. I want to roll out the red carpet for you and let you tell the listeners, when they finally hear this, what you want them to know or where you want them to go and visit. Is there a social media channel or maybe a specific location you want them to go check out? Or do you want them to connect with you in some way? Although, you know, with that many emails.
Yeah, they should check out our Korean Steakhouse.
Okay.
Anto 58. It's a restaurant on 58th Street between 2nd and 3rd. It's a Korean restaurant that we built, very high end. It's a great experience. They should definitely check it out. It's the best Korean restaurant in New York City.
Amazing. You know what? Next time I'm in New York, I'm going to do the same thing, man. For real. It has been an absolute pleasure being able to chat with you. I can't wait to do this again. I hope that we can.
We will.